Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, the weather's just up and down. I can't decide if it's spring or if it's fall. I'm trying to figure it out.
When you get like nighttime temperatures, what, you're in the 40s, and then in the daytime it's like 80s, and so you get a little bit of everything. It's variety.
It's confusing.
It's confusing.
I get a little bit confused by all this. But anyway, we've got Easter put to bed.
Oh, yeah.
The Easter bunny's gone back under the ground.
How was it?
We had the prettiest Easter bunny I believe I've ever seen.
Really?
He was wonderful. He was good with the kids. He helped them with eggs. And the bunny just had a good attitude this year.
Does the bunny usually not have a good attitude?
Well, you know how rabbits are.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They change their mind a lot.
They are a rather finicky folk, aren't they?
They are. I mean, you know, when you've got the long ears and the fluffy tail and all this, you know, and then you have to be around people, you know, it could be trying for them.
I've said the same thing myself, so, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
well, that's good though. It's fantastic. How was the weather? Was it like good? Like
the weather was very nice. Good. It was great outside, and we had 300 eggs.
Holy moly! Are you serious?
Yes.
300.
300.
Wow.
I thought we were going to do 100, but no, they kept going. And I don't know if we've got them all, but they were plastic. We're not using real ones, so. Even if we lost them, it won't matter.
Yeah. Well, the ones you lost, as long as there wasn't any money or chocolate in any of the ones that were lost, you're fine.
And we did lots of pictures with the bunny.
Good. Wow.
I thought that was important.
Yes.
Well, every year we've taken pictures with the bunny and saved them. So you can tell as the grandchildren are growing up and as everybody's getting older, you know, the pictures.
Wow.
But you have to worry about it because they've caught me wearing the same suit a few times.
And they called you out on it, didn't they?
They called me out on it and said, look, do not wear that particular suit. You wore it before. So I had to be careful what I wore in the pictures so that they wouldn't think it was last year's pictures.
Well, I mean, it's understandable. You know, a year goes by and you try to think, golly, what was I wearing last year on this day? It's hard to remember. But then when you go back and you look at the pictures, it's like, I see, good point. Wow. Well, goodness. Well, at least it went well. It was a good time. The Easter Bunny had a good attitude. That's good. Weather was nice. How was dinner, lunch?
Lunch was great.
Good.
It wasn't as elaborate as usual. They had really cut back, but it was fine.
Good, good.
I guess, I don't know if it's the cost of food. I don't know what it was, but they did cut back a lot. They didn't even have deviled eggs this year.
What? Really?
They said, we've cut out the deviled eggs. They go, oh, no.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no.
You'd think that would be like the staple of, I mean, that's... How do you have Easter lunch without deviled eggs?
And there was no mac and cheese for the children.
No, really?
Yes, no mac and cheese.
Oh, my word.
And they couldn't believe it. They're going, no mac and cheese?
Wow. Oh,
and I go, no, I'm sorry. They don't seem to have that.
Well, gosh, what did they have?
Well, no, they had roast beef and ham and some chicken. So, as I said, they've cut it down a lot. And they still had shrimp and crab claws.
Oh, all right.
But the salads were scarce, and the desserts were different. You know, usually they'll have the big cakes. You'll have four or five cakes, some big pies. And they had a peach cobbler and little tarts.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
I remember we were talking about the desserts, about how there's always usually nice variety and it's
oh, yes. I mean, usually there's 50 kinds of desserts. I mean, really elaborate things. But it wasn't this year.
Interesting. Well.
It was interesting. I can't wait till I get the bill. To see how much this cost me.
Oh, my
gosh.
Oh, wow.
Life is interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. So, oh, wow. All right. Well, we'll see what happens then, I guess, next week when you get the, or whatever
right.
it is.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, at least it was a good celebration. You know, everybody got together. It was
a good
time.
Celebration. The little children were gorgeous. They looked so cute. Nice. Everybody had on a new Easter dress.
Ah.
And I thought they were pretty. Easter suits. I mean, everybody dressed up and everybody looked good. And, you know, I thought it was nice that everybody went to that much trouble.
Yeah, yeah. And just to be clear, you did wear a different suit than last year, right?
I did, but okay. I almost didn't.
Oh.
I saw one that I wanted to wear, and everybody said, no, no, we've seen that. We've seen that. But that. We've seen that in the pictures. So I was very careful about that.
Well, good. You don't want any more of that kind of controversy, especially at Easter.
That's right. You don't want them to look at the pictures and say, oh, no.
Not again.
Did it again.
She did it
no,
again.
No, I couldn't do that. But they wanted me to go shop. And I go, I'm not going to do that.
Really?
Keep it simple.
Yeah. Wow. So they wanted you to, like, really be, like, really different than previous.
Oh yeah,
years.
They want me to go out and get a whole bunch of new clothes.
Wow.
And I was really not for that.
Well, then I guess next year if they want you to do to go shopping again, come back with like a purple velvet suit or something like that and see what they think about that.
Oh my gosh. I want to dress up and go play with Easter Bunny.
Oh yeah.
But he had on a beautiful suit, let me tell you.
Really? The Easter Bunny did?
The Easter Bunny dressed up. It was kind of purple and silver.
Really? Oh, wow.
It was a tux. The Easter Bunny had a tux on.
Well,
it was purple and silver.
I didn't even realize. I thought the Easter Bunny was
you didn't know a bunny rabbit could do that,
no,
did you?
No, I had no idea. That's pretty cool.
See there.
See, now the
he was cool.
Fancy.
And as I said, he was really beautiful.
Wow. Neat.
His long ears, his smile, everything about him was really pretty.
Wow. So he was great on the outside, looked all great, and had a good attitude and all that. So, golly.
That's right. Sometimes rabbits kind of stand around.
Yeah.
You know, they're big, they're bulky. But this rabbit didn't do that. He got right into everything.
Really? So he was, like, really active,
yeah.
Didn't just, like, supervise.
He was very active. He hunted eggs with the kids. He took pictures with me. I don't know why, but he did. And he was very active with everybody in the family.
Maybe he knows that you're a kid at heart.
Maybe that was it. But he took one look at me and said, I need to go entertain her.
Yeah.
Wow.
He knows who is the boss. So
that's right. Yeah. He knew who was going to write the check for what it was.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Easter Bunny's no dummy, that's for sure.
That's right. He was smart. But he was a good quality bunny, and I appreciated that.
Good, good. Because, you know, I mean, you never know. You know, sometimes you get some, and they're kind of, you know, it's like, little falls a little flat. But it's nice that he was, like, really involved and engaged, and it was a good time. He got right in there with everybody. So it sounds like it made a world of difference. So that's awesome.
It did. Because, you know, we've been having Easter Bunny as long as I can remember. And I can remember how they've all acted. We had girl Easter bunnies one year, and they were wonderful. They had little aprons on and little glasses, and they entertained us, actually entertained us.
Wow.
So different bunnies do different things.
Bunnies
just
are
like
people.
That's right.
Wow.
They're a lot more fun than people, frankly.
Yeah, yeah. Easter bunnies are kind of more like puppies.
They are. You know, they're soft and cuddly, and, you know, they just hop around, and they've got big feet, don't forget.
Now, does Easter Bunny talk or just, like, smile?
No, they do not talk.
Okay, I didn't think they did, but I wasn't sure.
Oh, everything's pantomime.
Yeah. All right. So they talk with their hands and show and point and.
Yes, that's it. Mm. But they do not talk.
Wow. Well, boy, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm glad that went well. I'm glad the weather cooperated, and it sounds like a great year all the way around. So that's awesome.
That's right. So we've got memories again for this year, and people should always have lots of pictures for memories.
Yeah.
Because you won't remember all these years from now. Mm-mm. If you don't take pictures.
Yeah, you forget all the little things. Then you go back and look at the pictures, and it's like, oh, wow, I forgot about that. And I love when people say that.
And, you know, everybody grows up fast. People get older. And if you don't make memories, you won't remember what everything was about.
Yeah, and it's important to check your outfit from the year before.
That's right. Be sure you do that.
Do you have
to be like a man wearing the same tie year after year?
Oh yeah, you don't want to do that. It's like, is that
the
only
really
tie?
That would really be bad.
Yeah, yeah. And if you do, you're going to start getting ties for like Christmas and birthday. It's like, here's a hint.
Yeah, they're trying to get you out of that other tie.
Yeah. Wow. Do you have all the Easter photos in one album, like all like just Easter, or are they like mixed?
No, I have them up on the counter, all the different pictures for each year.
Oh, neat. Neat.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I put them all in as photographs so I can just look at them. That's how you can tell what you wore the year before. There's a picture right there that tells the story.
So you don't have to dig out an album. You just kind of like look over on the
counter. No, you just look up there and you go, uh-oh. We know what happened. We know the story.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That's fantastic. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Should we get right to the exciting news, or do you want to kind of like wait, or do you want to like draw
it
out?
No, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
We have a new policy. It's a $6 million policy. We've just been awarded, and we're going to get it filled. And I want to tell everybody about the policy. The person... he has metastatic colon cancer and some liver cancer. It's a 38-month. It's 38% profit. And there's no premiums in the foreseeable future.
Wow.
Wait. So if you can buy a policy with no premiums, make 38% on colon cancer. We've done colon cancer a lot of times. It should be a great policy, great profit. And everybody, I'd like to see them get in this policy.
Boy, there's a lot of information in there. So, first of all, the type of policy, that's a very, those usually go pretty quickly, don't they? I mean, they're in high demand. Is that a good way to say it?
Yes. Colon cancer is one of your really deadly cancers.
Yeah.
There was a story this week in the paper. This lady's 42 years old, just died of colon cancer. Now, this guy's 64. He's lost 7 pounds recently. He has other things wrong with him. But the main thing is the metastatic colon cancer. He's got pulmonary metastasis also in the lungs.
Oh,
he's on 3 kinds of cancer treatment. And it's because the chemo was not working.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is an alternate to the chemo. Because it said they were having trouble with the chemo working.
And this is a 38-month, you say?
It's a 38-month. As I said, he's got cancer in 3 different places.
Wow.
And the tumor in the colon, it was 2.8 centimeters. And the lung cancer, you know, was there, and then you've got the liver metastasis. So he's got lung metastasis, liver metastasis, and colon metastasis.
Oh, geez.
So that tells you it's spread already to 3 or 4 places.
Yeah. Wow. I know I'm not a doctor and I'm not an analyst for these things, but boy, 38 months. That sounds like it may not have been last 38 months.
That's right. And he has 8 lesions in the liver.
Wow.
Oh, my. And the lungs. So, you know, he's got it in 3 different places. And usually if it's in 3 places, you know, you're not going to come out of it.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But it says, when I read it, it's chemo-resistant cancer in the colon. So the chemo was not working, so they put him on all this other and trying to do it that way.
Wow. And you say this is no premiums for the foreseeable future?
For the foreseeable future.
Wow.
You should be able to safely do this. And if you're worried about premiums, this is the policy to get in, because it's 38% profit. It's, you know, 38 months, could come in less. He's got cancer in 3 places. It has metastasized, so it should be good to go. And I've got a lot of people have already put in $150,000 apiece on it.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, they asked if they could put more in. I said yes.
And this is, what'd you say, $6
million? Yes, it's a $6 million policy. So we've got room for a lot of people. A lot of people have been on the sidelines should get in since there's no premium. And then all of our regular people that invest all the time, you know, they need to make an investment between $50,000 and
$100,000. Wow.
Somebody yesterday, I'm saying, well, I think you should put in $40,000. They said, no, we want to put $65,000 in.
Wow. So they recognize this is a good one.
That's right. And as I said, I've had 2 people say, I'd like to put $150,000 in.
Hmm. Wow.
So it's a good policy. You must be accredited to be in it. If you don't have any money in your account, you've got money in other accounts, all you have to do is transfer it over. If you don't have an account with us, you can open an account and to do this. In order to do it, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house.
Okay.
It is for accredited investors.
Okay.
So everybody has to be accredited that goes in this.
And to open an account, if somebody, excuse me, if somebody is a new investor and they haven't ever done anything like this before, and they're not already like set up, how long does it usually take somebody to, you know, get accounts set up and get things?
We can do it in a week if it's a check.
Oh, wow.
You know, if they just bring us a check on their regular checking account, you know, we can do it in a week. Okay. If they want to transfer money directly to Nevada Trust, it's even quicker.
Oh, wow, that is fast.
Right. It is. We can do an ACH form direct. And, of course, your account has to be at Nevada Trust. That's where all the money's held. And they are the trustee. We do not take money to us. It has to go to the trustee at Nevada Trust. That's why it's a safer investment, because there's a trustee that handles your money.
Yeah.
They make all the decisions about when to pay premiums. When the person passes away on the investment, the money comes to the bank, and then they put it in your account. So it's got every safety feature in the world to do this.
It's really a highly regulated investment, as opposed to, you know, say like in the stock market, where the broker can do just about, you know, anything, just move your money around willy-nilly and whatever they think is, you know, in some cases what serves them. But something like a life settlement, it's all buttoned up. You know, you make all the choices, the decisions. You decide, am I in the policy? Yes. Or, you know, in some cases, if they decide no, then I suppose that's fine. But people are in control of their own money, which is the whole point. It's a lot safer. It's a lot more regulated, and it's a lot more conservative. And if anything were to happen, you're not going to see the bottom fall out, because it's a life insurance policy, and that pays the full amount every single time, right?
And we use large life insurance companies, and we would not buy a policy unless they were with a substantial life insurance company. Okay. A lot of people don't realize that. You know, we're not going to buy a BBB deal. It's got to be an A-plus company or an A at least. and all these companies are huge. They've got billions and billions on hand to pay claims. So it's a good deal. Now, let's say that you have cancer, that you're not one of our investors. If a person has cancer in the state of Texas, we can buy their life insurance policy and help them out.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't realize that. We buy cancer policies. That's what we do for a living. So if you've got cancer and it's stage four and you need cash, you call us and we'll see about buying it. We would have to have all the medical on you, all the information as to how serious it is. But we buy cancer policies every day. And we could buy them in Texas. We are a licensed provider in the state of Texas.
And just to make sure that I understand, somebody doesn't have to have like a, I guess, a broker or a guy. They can just call you direct, right?
They can come direct in the state of Texas. Right. In other states, they cannot come direct to us. We have to go through a broker, a licensed broker, provider. But in the state of Texas, we are a provider. We are a licensed provider. So we can buy their policy direct. And it cuts out the middleman. They're not having to pay a broker to sell their policy.
Yeah. We don't talk about that very often.
Yeah, we don't ever think about it. But a person can come direct us, give us their medical history, give us their medical information from their doctor. We'll make a quick decision, and we can turn it around in less than 30 days.
Wow, that's fast. I didn't realize it would be so fast.
Yes.
Wow.
Locally, we could buy it real fast and give them their money and get them some cash where they can go and have all the treatments that they need. As you know, cancer is about $100,000 a month is about what it costs.
Jeez. Wow. When you the difference between, say, somebody would sell you their policy direct versus you bidding on other policies is the I don't know how to ask this, but is the vetting process, the things that you look at, is it the same regardless?
It is the same.
Okay.
In other words, when we look at a person that has cancer, we look to see how many times they've been to the hospital, if it's metastasized, if it's just local, what the prognosis is. And when we look at a policy, the doctors give us all this information on the people, how sick they are, all this information, and we read it. And if it sounds like it's in our bailiwick, then we're going to bid on it. If it says, you know, they're going to go to Scotland tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
We're probably not going to bid on that policy.
Yeah.
Because we're looking for somebody that's stage four. And if it's like stage two, they're not that sick. And, you know, we're looking for somebody that has a terminal illness. Because remember, these are IRAs, other accounts with us, and they're getting ready for retirement. So they're trying to flip this as much as possible. They don't want a long-term policy, and we don't either. We want short-term policies.
Yeah. The people that you see, you know, like on TV that are, you know, traveling, playing golf, you know, going on cruises, doing all the things that active people do, those are not the policies that you're looking for.
No, and they give them about 15, 20 cents on the dollar.
Oh, wow, really?
A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, boy.
That's right. They do not pay them very much. We pay more, I think, than anybody in the industry. When we're bidding on policies, we bid hard if it's one we really want. This one we just got, we were bidding against some of the biggest people in the industry. And the guy signed with us last Friday and said, I'll sell my policy to you. So we've got to raise almost $6 million. As I said, it's going to pay 38%. He has cancer in several places, in his lung, in colon, and in his liver. So, you know, it has metastasized in three places. So I think it's a really good policy. You're not going to be saddled with premiums, and so that takes the risk out, and I think it'll be really worth doing. So I'd like to see a lot of people jump on this. You know, the minimum is $50,000, unless otherwise noted.
Okay.
Most of our people like to put 50 and above.
All right. And so I have a feeling this is probably going to go, I'm just guessing anyway, from the outside looking in, I have a feeling this is probably going to go quickly. I assume.
We certainly hope so. We need to get it closed out.
Yeah. What's like the target? Do you even have a target date for, do you want this filled by, say, Wednesday or next Friday, or is there a timeline?
Yes, next Friday. I'd like to have it all put to bed and over to the bank. And in escrow.
Okay.
Because a lot of people don't realize what it is. Once they commit, we take the money out of their account and put it in our escrow account. Mm-hmm. And then we wire the money to the owners of the policy.
Okay.
And once all the documents are in place, we don't give it to them immediately. We say, okay, we've escrowed this money. We want to finish this and send us all the documents. So they have to give us a change of ownership, change of beneficiary forms, all of this has to be signed off on. And, of course, the beneficiary, the trustee handles that. That's why we love the way we do this.
So and this may not even matter. I don't know that I've ever asked this, but when a policy, so say you fill this policy, say I'm an investor, I call you up, I say, hey, I want in, and you're like, okay, here's the amount and all the stuff that you just said happens. Does each investor sign something or?
Oh yes, each investor, the first thing they do. Is the invitation. They send it back and say yes or no. So if they've said yes, they authorize us to escrow the money. So then we look and see how much is in their account, if they have to put more money over, or if they have enough in there. If they have enough in there, we just put it over into the escrow account once they've authorized it. It always has to be authorized. But once they say yes and authorize, the money, then we put it all in the escrow account and wait for all the documents to get here. When all the documents are here, then we release the money.
Okay. And then at that point, what do investors need to do then? Anything?
Okay, all the money's up, so they're in the policy, and then we have them sign the contract. And on this, and there's so many people, it'll take a month to get all the contracts signed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's going to be about 60 people in this.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I guess that would take some
time. It'll take a little time to get them out their contracts. But they know they're in it once they've said yes.
Okay.
Once they've said, put me in for this amount.
All right. I don't know that I've ever...
in it.
I've never asked about the actual, process before. So, I think what I was wondering is, for those who have never, done a life settlement before, how much, time does it take? How much, and it doesn't sound like it takes very much at all. It's just...
No, we can do it within a few days if it's a check or if we do an ACH from one account to the other. That's really quick. Okay. And, of course, they have to fill out the application for the account at Nevada Trust. And it asks them all those questions, do you make $200,000 a year or are you worth $1 million without your home? And so they're going to answer all these questions and tell us, about their certification. So once we know that they're accredited, we open the account and they're ready to go.
Okay. So it sounds like a pretty quick, easy process.
It is.
Not
unless we're liquidating stocks and bonds.
Mm.
If it's that, it takes a while.
All right. But that would be something that maybe people wouldn't necessarily worry about for, say, a brand new investor for this particular policy. It might be something that they do as part of a transitioning out of, say,
they may give us a check for $100,000 or $150,000,
yeah,
or $50,000, whatever.
Okay.
To go in one policy.
All right.
But most people come and they're going to do 3 or 4 just to get started, to see if they like it.
Okay. Oh, so new investors tend to usually do 3 or 4 to start
with?
Yeah,
lots of times they'll do several. They're not going to come. Remember, the minimum to open an account is 100. So anybody that comes to us, they know they can do at least 2 policies.
Yeah.
So most people are going to do several.
Okay.
Just coming in.
So if say somebody brought over 100,000, put 50 in two policies, do people oftentimes say, you know what, let me double that, let me bring over 200 or 300 or maybe 500, then put me in say six policies? Is that kind of
it happens
things...
all the time?
Okay,
I'll have people that'll call and say, I'm bringing another 100 over. I'm bringing another 200 over. People are always adding to their accounts.
Okay.
And a lot of people have two or three accounts. They'll have a regular IRA, they'll have a Roth, then they'll have a joint with their wife. So a lot of people have three different kinds of money there.
Okay. So it really is an entire wealth management system. It's an entire plan. It's a strategy. Really, it's not just get in a policy and then go off and retire. It's really...
No.
Something that's long term.
And I've got people now that are getting older. I'm going to switch them to annuities because they're turning 73, 74. So they're going to need income all the time. So I'm going to encourage them to do annuities where they'll have lifetime income. And as you know, with annuities, your principal's always safe. If the market goes up, you make a profit. If the market goes down, it just stays the same. You're never in the stock market directly. That's why it's so profitable. And so I'm always saying it's averaged 10% the last 10 years. And some years it was a lot more than 10, but it averaged to 10.
That's pretty good.
But annuities, you know, what I love about them, it's all tax deferred until you take it out. We don't have anything else that's tax deferred until you take it out. Annuities are. They're deferred until you take it out. So the money's growing faster. And then it's compound interest. You have great beneficiaries you can name. And this makes it a separate contract. And you can get this right away after you die. The heirs can get it within about 12 days. Hmm. So it's a separate contract from all the rest of your assets.
It's not part of the estate.
No, it's a separate part of the estate. It stands on its own.
Mm.
Has its own beneficiaries.
If you were to describe annuities in one word, would it be safe to say that annuities are consistent? Well, maybe two words, safe and consistent. Would that be a good description?
They are. They're safe. They're consistent. Their guarantees are great. You've got lifetime income. And you can change beneficiaries at any time.
Hmm. Okay. So it's there is a little bit of flexibility if all of a sudden, say, it happens all the time. If somebody has a falling out with somebody in the family,
can
change the beneficiary, and it's you just go on like normal. No big deal. You're not locked in.
That's right.
All right.
And, you can tell them how much you want them to have. There's all kinds of restrictions you can put on them. If you have somebody you don't trust, don't put them in an annuity. Just leave them out. They can't do anything about it.
And people can set up annuities for different things, like college, things like that.
You can set it up for your grandchildren, your children. I have several people that have it with their children. It's them and the children together. They own the policy.
Okay.
But there's all kinds of ways you can do it. And annuities have been around over 100 years.
And
they'll beat the stock market every dadgum day.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the safety features.
You know,
when you've got safety and you don't have to worry about your money, you can relax and enjoy life.
I would imagine it's probably one of those kinds of investments where if people are tired of the stock market, they're tired of either losing money or they're tired of the inconsistency and the anxiety that goes with it, wondering, in the middle of the night, oh my gosh, do we have anything left? Did the bottom fall out today? I would imagine the people that like the excitement of the stock market but want more, safety measures, knowing that there is a bottom
more
limit.
More control.
Yeah.
More control over their money.
Yeah, more control. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that's something we hadn't thought about. Yeah, they have more control over their money. They've got more safety features. If the stock market goes up, you get paid. If it goes down, it sets, it holds, and it doesn't go down.
Okay.
So you don't have that downside risk that you have with the stock market. It only goes up or not at all.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. It goes up or not at all. That's cool.
That's right. Yeah. It does.
Wow. I've been looking for a way to phrase that, and there you go. Nice. That safety net's a big deal for people. So,
I think the safety net is one of the greatest things there is.
Yeah. Do annuities still have bonuses attached to them? Are they still in
effect?
Yes,
that one still has the 12%. If you do every year that you put money in it for 3 years, you get the 12%.
Have annuities gotten, I guess, maybe a new juice lately, some new excitement, some new interest?
They have. They've changed the way they're doing them. The indexes have changed. They've made a lot of improvements. I can't wait to try these new policies to see how much more that they pay off.
Cool. And, you know, I meant to ask this. I don't think I actually said it out loud, but there's like 14 or 15 to choose from, right, for annuities?
That's right. I believe there's 14.
Okay.
I believe it's 14 different choices. And you're safe. You're inside an annuity. You're never directly in the stock market. It's just kind of like a passing thing. It mirrors it, but it doesn't get involved in it.
Okay. So when people
are... Indexes are a lot better.
Yeah. If anyone's sitting around thinking, you know, gosh, we really need to do some more conservative things, but, you know, all we really know is just kind of like what everybody does at the stock market, but we're looking for something else, something a little bit more safe and secure, because we all know that, you know, there could be very turbulent times up ahead. I see a lot of articles that say that election years are always unstable, especially the closer we get to November, and people get a little bit nervous. Consumer spending starts to get a little bit silly, maybe. And so if people are looking for something that has, you know, some safety measures, either annuities or life settlements, both are great options, and it's never an either or. You have a lot of investors that do both, right? It's not.
That's right. And as they get older, they need to be in both. You know, if you're in your 70s, early 70s, annuities can't be beat. It's time to make that change. If you're, you know, 72, 73, take the cash that you've got just sitting there in your account, put in an annuity. You know, as I said, they've averaged 10%.
Wow.
So I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I would say that's great.
Besides, you're going to get that bonus of 12. And every time you put money in it, you get another 12 up to 3 years.
Cool. So there's a lot of benefits, a lot of, extras involved with annuities. So either way, they're both conservative, they're both safe, and people have control over their money, which is a big deal.
That's the big thing. You control your money. You make all the decisions. You don't have somebody else making your decisions.
Yeah.
You're not paying a broker every year, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Glad you brought that up.
That's a real good point.
Forgot about that. That's always, we don't mention
that.
That's
always a biggie right there.
Yeah. You're not paying somebody to do whatever serves them. Wow.
That's right.
This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. We're still working on our website, by the way.
We are. We've got most of the basics built out. We still have stuff that we're adding to it. We have some new things we're working on and stuff like that. But, yeah, we got a pretty good foundation. So, you know, we're making some progress. But, yeah.
We're making progress. Okay.
Every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about San Saba. And a nice family out there, Eddie and Brunhilde Sanderson.
All right.
Back in 1975, they lived out in San Saba. And they had a little retail store. They were selling pecans and snacks to people and to hunters that were going to the hill country for deer season. And then they expanded a little bit. They included authentic Texas favorites, old family recipes that they'd passed down generations over generations. And they said, well, let's take our dishes on the road. So they entered cooking competitions all over Texas. Their cooking was rewarded. They had big wins at cook-offs, festivals. They were having chili, pinto beans, wild game, even pecan pies. Mm. So they won some gold medals and first-place titles, and they were kind of swaggering about. But they were curious, and they said, you know, we're going to move into Austin. So here they come. They move into Austin, and it was in the 1990s. They were intrigued and disappointed with the overabundance of hot salsa. And they'd say, well, it's either so hot you can't eat it, or when you taste it, it has absurd names like or goofy labels. And they said, but look, let's take our family recipe and do one more deal. So they said, well, you know, we know how to make salsa. And we make it with the sweetest tasting tomatoes. They said, well, we'll win you over with flavor and not kill you with heat. Mm-hmm. And they named it Texas, Texas,
really?
Meaning twice the love. So that's what their salsa is called, is Texas, Texas. I don't know if you've had any of it.
I don't know that I have.
And so in 1997, old Eddie came home with her first palette of salsa in the back of his pickup.
Now that's cool.
I mean, he's right in the back. So they started selling it to gift shops, barbecue joints, little mom and pop shops. And it was just a simple, honest person-to-person business, you know. But it wasn't booming. And their strategy was to sell 112 cases of salsa. So they went to the Austin Chronicle Hot Sauce Festival. They'd only been in business 3 months.
Oh, boy.
The salsa won first place at the People's Choice Awards.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it set this small family business on a new trajectory.
Wow.
They were firmly established in 3 months.
Wow.
And they started landing it on the shelves. They've been in business over 23 years.
Really? Wow.
And they still taste it on every batch. It's still made by them, not some big company. And they make it all in small batches.
Really?
Can you imagine?
I can't imagine how much work that would be. I mean,
it would be a lot of work. But these people, you know, I think they enjoyed it. They liked it when they learned that people, you know, really liked their salsa. That they won all these awards for it, and they started selling it. And you know, and when they moved to Austin, they discovered that those people didn't know what they were doing. It was either so hot, that's why a lot of salsas, I won't eat it. It's just too doggone hot.
Yeah. Wow.
And
this is a little sweet, a little heat, both a nice balance.
A nice balance that it says it won't kill you with heat. He has now passed away,
And
his son has taken his place. But it's a multi-generational family business.
And this is,
so
it's Texas, Texas? That's what it?
Texas, Texas is the name of the salsa.
Wow. I can't believe I've never had this before.
And Sanderson Foods.
Wow.
And I wasn't familiar with them, and I loved it. And they've got several different products that you can look up online and buy.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. See, now I love salsa. You know, it's just like it's almost like a staple of what we do. We all know people, I'm sure, that put salsa on eggs. You know, I mean,
I do.
Yeah. So it's part of our life, really.
As long as it's not hot.
Yeah.
You know, I like mild salsa. I'm kind of like these people. I want it to. Them to kill me with taste and flavor,
yeah,
not with hotness.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. There's a difference between heat and flavor, and sometimes
that's
that
right.
Gets lost.
And they say the secret of their success is the great tomatoes they put in it.
Yeah, the nice sweet tomato. I can't believe they still
really
make this in
tomatoes.
Small batches like that.
But yeah, they still make it in small batches, and they taste every batch.
Wow.
Now, that's time consuming.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah, it's real hard. And you know, just to pay that kind of attention and to have that kind of dedication. I mean, it would be real easy, you know, to I guess, I don't know, modernize
it. Get all
it.
Machined up.
Yeah, machined
up. And turn
up.
It over to the help. Yeah.
Yeah. So, boy, I just, you don't find many products like that are still handmade and that.
That's good. Right. And it's Sanderson Foods.
Sanderson Foods.
Sanderson Family Foods. So everybody look that up. If you want some really good salsa, order it online or go down and see them. Because they have a lot of different products. And I don't know what else they sell, but I know they sell a lot of different ones. And they're still making it the same way.
And it was in the 90s, and they've been around for a while now, so that's got some good longevity to it. That's good. I can't believe that they, after 3 months, that they won.
Yeah, they were 3 months, awards. And they went to that festival, the Hot Sauce Festival, and won People's Choice Awards.
Wow.
And that put them on the map.
Yeah. That was really, it sounds like the breakthrough. And sometimes it takes people years, you know, to
Well, it takes years to get name recognition.
Yeah.
And here they were loading up that pickup and just going to all these festivals and selling it out of the back of a pickup.
Wow. Talk about old school.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's cool.
Old school. And they were just happy as they could be.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, this is a good one. And we can order it. We can have it delivered, shipped, I would assume. And so I'm trying to Google it right now, and I'm having some trouble. So, yeah, as soon as we're done here, I'm going to be no doubt ordering some and seeing what else they have to offer. So I'm excited.
Yeah, see what other goodies they have.
Yeah.
But if they've been in business 25 years, they're doing it right.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and if they're still tasting every single batch, you know that there's some good quality control and somebody's...
Quality control is all about it, yes.
No doubt. And I love family businesses like this. So this hits on all cylinders for me. I'm excited about this one. Awesome. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You mentioned briefly a few minutes ago about the accreditation for a life settlement. We should run through that again and then talk about if there's any kind of similar thing that's required for annuities or if it's something completely different. So first of all, what's the accreditation?
Okay. To invest in a life settlement, you must be accredited. To be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. And that is a regulation, not by me, but by the powers that be. So that's good to know that. The risk factor, the biggest risk is if it goes over and you have to pay premiums. That's really the only risk as far as I can tell. And a lot of people don't realize the interest is not paid monthly or quarterly. It's paid at the end when it matures. That's when you get paid your principal and all your interest. So you need to know you can't take interest out in the middle of it. You have to wait till the people pass away. So that's important to know. Okay. Now then, on annuities, you have some guidelines, but they're not as strict as they are on the other. You do not have to be accredited to do an annuity.
Right. They still check, I guess.
Oh yes.
Your assets.
You can't say I've only got $50,000 to my name. They would not let you invest in an annuity. You've got to have some savings. You've got to have other assets.
So, is it realistic for somebody who is interested in making a shift from whatever they might be doing now to something more conservative? Is it realistic to say, okay, I'm not exactly accredited, but I'm really interested in life settlements. Can I use annuities to build up my assets so that
yes,
I am accredited?
You can go into annuities if you don't qualify for a life settlement. And then when you've built up and you qualify, you can switch over. I have several people that started out with us. They were not accredited, but they are now. So they're making better money now, and they now are accredited.
And you've also had people, I know you've told stories before about how some new investors have come over and said, Faye, we're not accredited, but, you know, we're really kind of interested. And then you go back and you look at things, and not only are they accredited, but they're more than accredited.
Yeah, a lot of them are worth $1.5 million or $2 million, but they didn't know they were.
Yeah.
And they had to go home and add it all up to see what they were worth.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have ranch land, they own a business, and they never had thought about what it was worth.
And that includes everything but their home? Is that correct?
Everything but their home.
Okay. So 401Ks.
If you have ranch, if you have cattle, if you have horses, you know, all these things that are valuable, you put them down and add it up.
Rental property?
Right. Rental property for sure. Business, if you own a car wash, if you own a car dealership, whatever you own. If you have rental houses, those all count.
Okay. So when you switch, so when somebody hits like, say, 70, 72, something like that, you generally switch them over to annuities because of the consistent
money. Yes, I would like
money.
There's the fact that they're going to need to start taking income. And when you're in an annuity, you can take income monthly or once a year. And your money's already there. You're drawing interest on it. And it's easy.
Okay. All right. And so people who are coming over for the first time, they want to maybe do both. An average starting point would be, say, what, for life settlements, 3, 4, 5, 6 policies?
Yes, they need several. You can't make it with just one policy.
Okay.
You've got to be diversified. It doesn't matter what you're in life. If you're all in the stock market, you're not really diversified.
Yeah.
I mean, if all the risk is in one place.
Yeah.
So we're saying do something conservative with part of your money.
So to put things in perspective, your highest, your most successful investors are in how many policies at any given time, would you say?
I have some really successful people that have got 15 to 30.
Okay. All right. So that's
the ones that have got the huge amounts are very successful. Their income is tremendous.
All right. It's just, it's always good to, you know, to kind of go in seeing kind of like the big picture. If somebody starts out with 2, 3, 4, 5, something like that, ultimately to be most successful, you want to, you know, shoot for, you know, 15, 20, 25, something like that. That's kind of like the ultimate goal. So, but most people don't start out with that many, I'm sure, right off the bat, but usually they add a more to the to their portfolio.
And sometimes people start out with $1 million.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's 300,000. You never know. Whatever they have, they bring over, and we get them started.
Okay. Either way, if people want to do both, that's cool as well. The point is that the investments that you make are the types of investments that are conservative. They're consistent. You have people that are thriving. You have people who are not worried about the stock market, not worried about, you know, whatever weird things may happen, because nothing ever, no matter what happens in the world or in any market conditions, nothing ever affects it. A life insurance policy pays out its full amount no matter what. They don't discount, you know, when a policy matures, they don't say, we're going to pay 70 cents on the dollar. It doesn't happen. And they've got the reserves to pay it, right?
That's right. So, you know, I think both of them are conservative investments. You don't have the risk that you have in the stock market. Right now, there is a lot of risk. Did you see where Bank of America looks like it's going to lose $100 million on their bonds?
Really? No, I didn't see that. Oh, that's a shocker.
I mean, they've got $59 billion or something like that in bonds.
Wow.
Either one is okay. I recommend that people put some in each if they're in their 70s.
Okay. All right. And setup is fast. You say that this new policy, $6 million, you'll be getting this filled within the next week or so. You want to have
We'd
that
like
done
to get
by Friday?
Filled by Friday. We'd like to get that done. If people have questions, they can call me. If they need to open a new account, they can call us. We'll show them how to do that. We'll get it done. Remember, it's always a Nevada trust. We do not hold the money. We have a trustee for everything we do. That's why we've been in business so long. And remember, we've been a member of the Better Business Bureau like 20-something years. We're an accredited business. were A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau.
Cool. That is important. All right. So one last time, people need to call, make an appointment, either get started, ask some questions, get set up, wherever they are in their investment career. They do need to make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.